So we begin a new series this morning looking at a section of the book of Hebrews. And as Jeremy was reading it there, I was thinking this is one of the most preached on passages in the whole Bible. It's a real mine of wonderful things all about Jesus. Each verse has had books written all about it. So it's going to be a challenge for me this morning to focus on one particular thing. But you may have heard, as the reading was introduced, what our series is going to be about. It's about Jesus, our High Priest. Now, the book of Hebrews was written, and we don't know by whom. There's lots of speculation about who wrote it. Some people think it was the Apostle Paul. Some people think it might have been Barnabas. But as the great church father Origen said, the one who wrote the book of Hebrews, only God knows. But Hebrews was written to a church, an early church, who were tempted to revert to Judaism. Life as a Christian was becoming hard, even in those early decades of Christianity. And they were very tempted to go back to the synagogue, to go back to all the ways they'd known before, to go back to the comfort and legal protection of Judaism. And so the overall message of Hebrews is simple. Jesus is so much better than the old Jewish system. And so, as I said, we'll be focusing particularly over these next few weeks on how Hebrews understands Jesus in his role as the great high priest. Now, we often focus on Jesus as the good shepherd who helps his people like sheep, as the Lamb of God who was sacrificed for his people, as the King of the world who reigns and will come back and rule forever. But we don't often stop to think about what it means for Jesus to be our high priest. Perhaps that's because we don't have high priests these days, do we? I'm not a high priest, and Judaism doesn't have high priests anymore. They don't really exist. But verse 5, that's verse 5 of chapter 5, is a focus for us on what a high priest does. The writer of the book of Hebrews says, every high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God, and to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. So that's the job description of a high priest. They're selected from among the people, as in it's not something you apply for, and it's not you don't work up your life towards it, you're chosen to do it. You then represent the people before God. And your job is to offer sacrifices for sins. So let's remember the overall picture of the whole Bible, that humanity has fallen from a state of perfect relationship with God. This fall was due to sin, in other words, rebellion against God. And the Bible is the story of God's acting in the world to restore mankind to perfect relationship with him. God prepared the restoration of the world through choosing one nation to be saved by him out of slavery and to be instructed in his ways. And they were meant to shine out with the message of his salvation and goodness to the whole of the world. And part of the instruction that the people of Israel received, now, we call it the law. Actually, a better word is instruction. The instruction they received, part of it was a system of sacrifices, especially described in the book of Leviticus. And the point of the sacrifices was to show God's people that a price needed to be paid for sin. God says again and again in the Bible, those sacrifices aren't for me, for heaven's sake. I don't eat the blood of bulls or rams and these things that you're offering. It's for you. It's for you to realize the seriousness of your sin. When you see that animal die in your place, you realize how serious the sin that you've committed. Now, the high priest was the guy whose job it was to go into God's presence in the holiest part of the temple. The temple had three bits to it. There was an outer court where everybody stood. There was an inner bit, which had all the holy bits in it. And then there was the Holy of Holies, the very, very, very most holy bit where the Ark of the Covenant was. If you've seen Indiana Jones, you know a little bit about what the Ark of the Covenant was. Very holy inner sanctuary of the temple. Only once a year was the high priest allowed to go in. And it was a dangerous job. The holiness of God had often consumed anyone in the Old Testament who approached him without being totally cleansed and consecrated. And there is a story that's not in the Bible, but the Jewish people tell, that the high priest would go into the sanctuary with a rope tied around his leg. Have you heard that before? So that if he was consumed by God's holiness, they could pull his body back out again. That's how dangerous a job it was. Because God was so holy and powerful. And if you went into his holy presence unprepared, uncleansed, then you'd be destroyed. Remember another bit of the high priest's job description. It was to represent the people before God. He brought to God the means by which the people were cleansed from their sins, the sacrifice for sin, so that spiritual fate of the whole nation rested upon him. You can see how the book of Hebrews, how the author of Hebrews is envisaging Jesus here. The state of the whole of the people of Israel, their spiritual state before God, rested upon this one man, the high priest. He's saying that's what Jesus is like for us. Our spiritual fate depends on that one man, the high priest Jesus Christ. Imagine how the people of Israel must have felt as they watched the high priest walk with trepidation with that rope tied around his leg into the Holy of Holies. Is that sacrifice going to be accepted? Are we going to be cleansed from our sin? What's our equivalent today? Who do we watch as a nation with trepidation? Well, the only thing I could think of was the penalty shootout in the semi-finals of the World Cup. Often that seems to be as far as England gets, and we watch as these men step up and the sporting fate of the nation rests in their hands as they nervously step back ready to take that penalty. We're all watching nervously. Are they going to convert it? We know they're probably not because that's what England's like. But that's what I thought of as an equivalent to everybody watching. Our fate rests on this one guy. The burden of the writer of Hebrews is to give great confidence and reassurance to Christians. It's not like England in a penalty shootout. We have a perfect high priest who has offered the perfect sacrifice. He had no rope tied round his leg. There was no worry that he would be consumed. When Jesus offered the ultimate sacrifice for sins, we have 100% confidence that it was effective. And so verse 14 of chapter 4 says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess." What does he mean by that? Well, he gives reasons for this great confidence and assurance in what Jesus has done as our role in high priest. Because he says, the author of Hebrews, we don't have a high priest who's unable to empathize with us in our weakness. But we have one who was able to conquer every temptation that came upon him. He did not sin. The worry was that some sin of the high priest would prevent him from offering the sacrifice. Not so with Jesus. Being God himself, he was completely free from sin. And so, as the verse we just heard says, he was able not only to enter the Holy of Holies on earth, but to enter the real Holy of Holies in heaven. All these things on earth, the temple, the Holy of Holies, they were a symbol. Our church here is a symbol of heavenly realities. That's why it's important that we kind of have this sense that there is a special place up there. We can all enter into it thanks to what Jesus has done. But it reminds us that God, in Jesus Christ, has entered into the holy place in heaven that is represented in our church by that sanctuary area there. Jesus has gone before us. And he's entered it with his own perfection, offered himself as an ultimate sacrifice for sin, so that we may confidently enter ourselves. Jesus died on the cross to offer himself as the ultimate perfect sacrifice. We'll be thinking about more about that in the weeks to come. And that sacrifice cleanses us from the sin that would have caused us to be consumed by God's holy presence. That's why it's wonderful when it's safe to go in, that we can go into the sanctuary area of the church, remembering that we are coming into God's holy, mighty presence with confidence, knowing that Jesus has gone before us as our great high priest. Where Jesus goes before, we can follow after. And as I say, this part of the church represents a spiritual reality that we are able to enter into the Holy of Holies in heaven, God's almighty and powerful throne, to come before him without fear that we'll be consumed or punished, but in full confidence as his sons and daughters. What does that really mean for us in our everyday life? It's very symbolic, isn't it, and abstract to say we can come into God's holy presence. What does it really mean? Well, I think it means several things. First of all, it's a spiritual matter primarily. Remember, all these things, the temple, our church, these are all representatives of an invisible reality that we come into God's presence spiritually. And to come into God's presence spiritually means we are joining in the true worship of God with all the angels and all those who have died in the faith of Christ before us. It's a real difficulty to do that, isn't it? When we gather here this morning, we can focus so much on the physical things in front of us, and yet an amazing thing is happening, even now, right now, in that we are all here, spiritually, alongside hundreds of thousands of angels that we can't see, all the Christians who have gone before us, joyfully worshipping God. Amazing spiritual reality. That is able to happen because of Jesus, our High Priest. Also, it means we have access to the Creator and Ruler of the universe to speak to him whenever we want. We know he'll hear us in prayer. We can be quite glib in prayer, can't we? Dear Heavenly Father, please can you make a parking space be free for me, please. Thank you. Bye. Amen. But actually, it's an amazing thing to come into God's holy presence with confidence when we pray. And speak to him whenever we want. It's like having a direct line to the president. Say, excuse me, can you make this happen, please? And he doesn't say, who is this, go away. He says, yes, thanks very much for that. I'll take that voice on board. We come into somebody who is infinitely more powerful than any human leader whenever we want, thanks to Jesus, our High Priest. It also means that when we sin, we need not fear punishment. Let us enter with confidence, says the author of the book of Hebrews. When we've messed up in our lives, we feel like God is going to be there like the headmaster or the annoyed parent. You really messed up this time. That's not the case. Because of our High Priest, we can come with confidence, knowing that God forgives us. One prominent Christian writer called this gutsy guilt. Yes, we're guilty for our sin, but we're gutsy about it. We can come and say, Lord, you've forgiven me because of Jesus, so I'm going to come and worship you. Also, Jesus, our High Priest, going before us, cleansing us, means that we can dwell in the house of the Lord spiritually. In other words, we can have a correct perception of God in order to contemplate his heavenly beauty. This is the heart and core of Christian life. To read our Bibles, to pray, and to consider the glory and wonder of God. We're doing that a bit now. Every time preaching happens, my hope and prayer is that we consider the glory, the wonder, the beauty of God. We can only do that because Jesus, our High Priest, has gone before us, opened our hearts and minds to the truth of God. And lastly, it means because Jesus has gone before us, we will follow him into the Holy of Holies in heaven when we die. He died and was raised and lives now in heaven. And we will be with him because he, our great High Priest, went before us.